I was reading something in the news this last week. Something, I don't know if you saw the story, is about something called coronavirus. Have you heard of that? Of course you have. It's the big news every single day. It's the main headline. Every single conversation you have with another human is about coronavirus. You can't even come to church without a GP telling you how you should wash your hands. It's everywhere, coronavirus. And you could think, with this big crisis going on, and it could become an even bigger crisis in this country, you think, well, why are we spending time still persevering with our series, thinking about the resurrection of Jesus and about the future resurrection of his people? Aren't there more pressing matters to be thinking about when we've got this virus spreading across the globe in such a rapid way? Aren't there more pressing matters to be thinking about this morning? Well, coronavirus is certainly a pressing matter, and it's certainly something that is causing a lot of disruption and even devastation for a lot of people, and we don't know what the next week or two will hold, or even month, in this country. But this morning in our reading, we learn about something even more important to think about, something even more pressing. Coronavirus may cause devastation, but the words we read this morning remind us that if we get the resurrection wrong, then the results of that are even more devastating. The importance this morning of understanding the resurrection. And the good news that we'll end up at the end, it's not just that if we get it wrong, then the results are devastating. But also the good news, as we understand the resurrection of Jesus and what that means for us, that will help us to prepare for whatever crisis faces us in the rest of this year, whether it's coronavirus or something more immediate and personal or anything else. The importance of thinking about the resurrection this morning. And this passage that we read earlier, Paul is pointing out an inconsistency in the Corinthians and what they believed. We thought last time about the resurrection of Jesus, and that being a real concrete event, that he really died for our sins, he was really buried, and he's really raised from the dead on the third day. I thought about what that means for us, that as we trust Jesus, so as his people, we will one day be raised too. For the Corinthian church, there were people who said, well, yes, we believe that Christ was raised from the dead, but we don't believe that his people will be raised from the dead in any meaningful, tangible way. There are people who thought like that. And Paul says, he's quite blunt, that that's not a consistent position. In verse 13, he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If you say that people aren't going to be raised from the dead, well, Christ is a person, so he can't be raised either. If you're going to say that humans aren't going to have that final, ultimate victory over death, then you can't say that Christ has had that victory either. It doesn't make sense. But he does, to challenge this position, he says, well, let's say, for the sake of argument, let's say that Christ was not raised from the dead. Let's say that Christ was not raised from the dead. And think about what would happen. What would that mean if Christ was not raised from the dead? And there are many people, even in churches, who will say that Christ wasn't raised from the dead. And maybe you're here this morning and either you think he wasn't raised from the dead or you're not sure. Let's think about this morning. If Christ has not been raised, what does that mean? And Paul gives us three fairly devastating consequences. What it means if we say that Christ has not been raised from the dead. Three devastating consequences. Well, firstly, we could ask the question, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, what happens to our ability to really make sense of this world? If Christ has not been raised from the dead, what happens to our ability to really make sense of this world? I think we get an answer in what Paul says in verse 14, that if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. The things that Paul was preaching and teaching and sharing with these believers in the first century, the things that we preach and share today, it's empty, it's vain. There's no substance to it. In fact, he goes on in verse 15 to say that we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true the dead are not raised. Paul in his preaching is saying that Christ has been raised. That's one of the things of most first importance in his preaching. If Christ has not been raised, then Paul is either a liar or he's really seriously misinformed if he's saying that Christ has been raised when he has not been raised. And the big problem is that Paul is not the first person to talk about the idea of resurrection. He's not the first person to talk about the idea of resurrection, but throughout history, God has been speaking words into this world, sending his messengers to speak words in this world that point to the resurrection. Right at the beginning of the Bible, when Adam and Eve first disobeyed and sinned, God spoke words to them, words of judgment and curse, but words that also had words of hope and promise that one day there would be a victory over that evil and sin and death that had come into the world. That it would be someone who would come who would bring that victory. And you go through the Old Testament and you see that promise being fleshed out. And the prophets who spoke pointing to the hope of life, resurrection life. And pointing even to servants who would come, who would see life beyond his death, pointing to the resurrection. And then we come into the New Testament and we see Jesus himself. He says that he is that servant who has come to deal with sin and to bring new life. And he talks about his resurrection from the dead. And then we get the apostles, these messengers who are sent out by Jesus, by God, to preach about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And if we get to the end of that story, and we find out that these apostles, like Paul and others, are either liars or seriously misinformed, then what does that mean about the rest of it? If we can't trust on this most fundamental issue, what can we trust? If Christ has not been raised, the preaching that we find here in the New Testament is empty, it's futile, it has no substance, which means we might as well throw the whole thing out. Because if we can't trust part of it, which part can we trust? And God has spoken into this world to give us certainty, to help us understand and make sense of this world, of what he's doing, what he is like, how we should live. But if we find out that all along the people bringing that message are either liars or misinformed, that certainty goes. Our ability to make sense of this world, what happens to that? Devastating. If Christ has not been raised, it's in vain. If Christ has not been raised, we could also ask, what happens to our ability to really know God? If Christ has not been raised, what happens to our ability to really know God? Well, Paul gives us an answer in that same verse, in verse 14. It's not just the preaching that's in vain, it's the response, it's the faith, their faith that's in vain. He goes on to say in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is not just in vain, it's futile, meaningless, empty, pointless. You're still in your sins. Your faith is futile and you're still in your sins if Christ has not been obeyed. Sins, all of that stuff that stops us really knowing the God who made us. But as humans, we're created to have a relationship with God. Well, that's how the world was first created. We had a special place in God's creation. We could know God and relate to God. But the pattern of human history that we've all followed and been part of is the pattern of turning away from God, wanting to do things our own way, to follow our own course and our own priorities and our own interests, failing to do the things that God calls us to do, and choosing to do things that God has said are wrong. All of that comes under the word sin. That sin that stops us really knowing God. And the good news that the Bible presents to us is that God the Son came into this world to deal with that problem of sin. That he lived the perfect life that we failed to live, and then on the cross he died the death that we deserve to die. That on the cross he was dying for our sins, taking on himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be put right with God. And so we put our trust, our faith, in the Christ who died for our sins. But if Christ has not been raised, then that faith is just the faith in a corpse. A corpse of a carpenter turned rabbi who died a few thousand years ago and wasn't raised. And he may have gone to the cross intending to die for our sins, but if he stayed dead, then it's a failure. Mission failed. No results. And so we can put our faith in Jesus. We could. But it's just a faith in a corpse who can do us no good if Christ has not been raised, which means our problem of sin is still here with us. We are still in our sins. We're still dead in our sins. We're still caught and trapped in our sins. And if we die in our sins, then there's no hope we can have other than the judgment of God that we all deserve for our sins. If Christ has not been raised, what happens to our ability to really know God? If Christ has not been raised, it's devastating. We can't really know God. There's a third devastating consequence that Paul gives us here. And if Christ has not been raised, what happens to our ability to really enjoy life? What happens to our ability to really enjoy life? Here's what Paul says in verse 16. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, or who died in Christ, have perished. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. There's a verse behind me on the wall. It's in two places, so you don't miss it. And it says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. These are good, happy words. But if Christ has not been raised, this eternal life is just a myth. It's not real, it's just words. If Christ has not been raised, there is no life for us, no real life. This eternal life that the Bible speaks of, an eternal life that begins now and goes on into the future, into eternity without end. This eternal life, real life that begins now as we are put right with the God who made us, as we learn what it really means to live as his people in this world, and an eternal life that goes on without end into the future as we see even more of what it means to be his people when we're raised. If Christ has not been raised, then none of that is true. There's no real life with God now. We're still in our sins. And there's no eternal life in the future. Because if Christ has not been raised, what do you think will happen to us? Perish. And so where the Bible says that we can come and enjoy this eternal life, we can come and understand what life in this world should really look like. We can live a life that has real eternal meaning and purpose. if Christ has not been raised, then life is pretty much just a pointless journey to the grave, isn't it? If that's it, just a pointless journey to the grave. There are lots of things we could still enjoy in this world, don't get me wrong. Lots of things we could still enjoy, and we could create our own purpose for life, our own purpose statement or mission statement. But then when it ends, what does it all mean? Christ has not been raised. Not much. If Christ has not been raised, what happens to our ability to enjoy life now and in the future? It's devastating. That's why Paul says those words in verse 19. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Christ was not raised, there's no real life in him now or in the future. If Christ has not been raised, we are to be pitied. It's devastating. Because our preaching is empty, it's in vain. Everything I've done here in the last 2.5 years is a waste of time. Our faith is in vain because we're trusting in a corpse who can't offer us anything. And if Christ has not been raised, our hope is in vain. We have this hope in life now and in the future, and it's empty, it's meaningless, it's futile. Everything is empty and futile. We're living according to a delusion if Christ has not been raised. It's a devastating idea, isn't it? If Christ has not been raised, the whole thing falls. If Christ has not been raised, the devastating consequences. But the good news is, Christ has been raised. I gave it away by not remembering that I didn't have another slide, and so I showed it beforehand. But Christ has been raised. It's what we get told in verse 20. In fact, having spent the time in that argument saying, let's for the sake of argument say Christ has not been raised, we're told, well, in fact, he has been raised. He has been raised. And this, as we saw last week, is real concrete truth of a Christ who really died for sins, who was really buried, and who was really raised from the dead in accordance with the scriptures, and then was seen by lots and lots of witnesses, hundreds of them, who then showed that they really had met the risen Lord Jesus. And so, this morning, we can come trusting in Jesus, with faith in Jesus, and know that our faith is not in vain, that our faith is not empty, that it's not futile, it's not without substance, it's not meaningless, it's not pointless, but it's real. Real faith in a real living Saviour who has been raised and who will raise his people. So we can come this morning to the risen Christ, and we can enjoy all of those things that I've just said we can't enjoy if Christ has not been raised. We can come this morning to the risen Christ, and we can enjoy certainty in a world where there's so much uncertainty. I don't need to really persuade you that there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and we see it just with this one issue at the moment, but so many issues where we just don't know what the future will hold. We can't. So many things are uncertain in our lives and in the world, but God has spoken into this world so that we can know some things for certain, so we can have a certain bigger picture to understand our lives in. And the resurrection, where Christ has been raised from the dead, is a sign that God is trustworthy. Just one sign, of which there are many, but it is one, that God is trustworthy. That what he said in the past has come true. What he promises for the future, we can trust that as well. Because Christ has been raised, we can come to him this morning and we can know certainty. We can know that what God says is trustworthy. We don't need to throw this all away. We can keep and read and listen and ask God to show us what he wants us to know. So we can come this morning to the risen Christ and we can enjoy that certainty, and we can also come and enjoy that relationship with God that we were created for. Relationship with God in a world that's so full of darkness, that darkness that all of us have participated in with our sin, with our turnings away from God. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead shows that our sin can be dealt with. The resurrection shows that when Christ died on the cross, he really did die for sin, and that sacrifice for sin has been accepted. It is acceptable. It's real. A success. Mission accomplished. We can be put right with God as we trust in Jesus, the one who died for us. We can have relationship with God in this world that's so full of darkness. We can come and know that. And we can come to the risen Christ, and we can enjoy real life that will last forever. As Christ has been raised, we can come and enjoy real life that will last forever. Because the resurrection of Christ from the dead shows that death is not the end. Death is not the thing that will have the final say in human history. Christ has risen victorious over death. And he promises that we will be victorious over death if we are among his people as well. The resurrection shows that death is not the end. And so we can know that real eternal life, beginning now and going on without end. There'll be no death to bring it to an end. There'll be no decay or corruption to bring it to an end. Real life that will last forever. If Christ has not been raised, that will be devastating for our understanding of this world, for our relationship with God, for our ability to enjoy life. But the good news that in fact Christ has been raised. And so this morning we can come to the risen Christ, and we can come and know that certainty in a world where there's so much uncertainty. We can know that relationship with God where there's so much darkness in the world, and we can know that real life that will last forever without end. And this morning, if you're here and you're still working out whether you actually believe that Christ was raised from the dead, or if you're here and you've still got doubts and questions and you're not sure, maybe you've heard this a lot, but you're not sure if you really trust it, please this morning don't keep choosing the devastating option, the option that would leave us without hope or life. Please don't keep choosing the devastating option. Come to Jesus, one who's raised from the dead, is alive now, and will hear you if you pray to him and ask him to give you life. If you come confessing that, like all of us, we've sinned, we've got life wrong, but come to Jesus, ask him to put you right with the God who made you, give you new life, and give you that new hope for the future. And if you've still got questions, I've given you a free book giveaway. You can take a copy of this on the way out. You can take a copy of this as well. It's an account of Jesus' life in the Bible. Read both of them. Write down all the questions you've got. Those questions about who Jesus is and what he's done. And then there are people here who'd love to chat through those questions with you, myself included, to find out who Jesus is, what it means to trust him, this Jesus who has been raised from the dead. Come to the risen Christ. Enjoy that hope, that life. And one more thing. For those of us who do trust this risen Christ, who trust this Saviour, who say amen to the good news that we read in the Bible this morning, as we head out into this coming week, let's not act as if our faith is in vain, or that we have nothing to hope for. That we say on a Sunday that yes, our faith is in the risen Christ. Let's not live as if our faith is in vain, as if we have nothing to live for. Let's think very specifically about, sorry to use the word again, coronavirus. We can look this morning to the risen Christ, and we can see certainty in an uncertain world. So let's not live as if we don't enjoy that certainty. We don't need to go into full-on panic mode when we read about a certain crisis in the news or when we get certain bad news in our lives. We don't know what the future holds. We may need to make very radical changes in our lives if the virus spreads. Yes, that's true. But we make all of those changes with a certainty about the bigger picture, about who God is and who we are and what the future means for us. We look to the risen Christ, we can know certainty. Let's keep remembering that. And we can look to the risen Christ and we can know relationship with God now. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not even coronavirus. Nothing can. Nothing can separate us from that relationship in Christ Jesus. And so as we go about our coming week and uncertainty of whatever form it takes, let's not forget that our faith is real and in something and someone who is real. And so when we pray, that actually means something, because we're praying in the name of a risen Saviour who was raised from the dead. And when we read the Bible and listen to God speak to us, that really means something, because these are real words that come to us from our real Father in heaven. And then we can look to the risen Christ and we can see that real life that we enjoy in him now and forever. As we understand that real life, then that frees us to live the life that God has called us to. We don't need to be obsessed with just self-preservation, of making sure that we don't get certain viruses. But we're free to keep doing what God has called us to love others, to love him, and to serve him in this world. If we trust in the risen Christ, as we leave this building this morning, let's remember what that means, the good news that Christ is being raised. Let's not live as if our faith is in vain or none of this means anything. Let's keep looking to him and trusting him. I have a prediction for this coming week. And you've seen how good I am at guessing things from earlier on, from that game with Guess What's in the Bag. I have a prediction for this coming week that if you read the news, you'll hear the word coronavirus a lot. Every time you see the word coronavirus, remember Christ, raised from the dead. Remember what it means to trust him. Christ who was raised from the dead and who will one day raise his people to keep trusting him, and your faith will not be in vain. Amen. Well, this pre-Easter series is an excuse to sing the songs that we normally only sing once a year, but now